Amen. That was our VBS theme this year. And have you ever said to yourself at the end of VBS, man, I wish this excitement could continue? You ever said that? I wish we could be excited all year or even next week as much as we have been during VBS. Well, this year, you're in luck, because for the rest of the summer, we're going to be preaching a sermon series on the power of small things. Some of the lessons will be the ones that we discussed in VBS, but there'll be some others added in there. We're going to continue preaching on small things, because when you look at it, don't we really have more access to small things than we do big things? I mean, that's true. We have more access to the small than we do the large things. The question is, do we look for opportunities to use these small things every day to make a difference for God? Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson went on a camping trip. They set up their tent and they fell asleep. Well, a few hours later, Holmes woke up and he nudged Watson and he woke him up and he said, Watson, look up at the sky and tell me what you see. Watson looked up and he said, well, I see millions of stars. What does that tell you? Asked Holmes. Well, Watson said, astronomically speaking, it tells me there are millions of galaxies and billions of planets. Astrologically, it tells me Saturn is in Leo. Theologically, it is clear to me that the Lord is all-powerful and we are very small. Meteorologically, it seems we will have a beautiful day tomorrow. Holmes, what does it tell you? Holmes was silent for a moment. He said, Watson, you imbecile, someone has stolen our tent. Sometimes we're like Watson. Sometimes we see something small and we dismiss it as being insignificant. Or maybe we miss the obvious because we determine it as insignificant. But you know what? We don't get to be the judge of what is significant and what is insignificant. Do you agree with me? We don't get to make that call. A boy named Adam had autism. And since his birth, a lot of people had written him off. They thought that, you know, he probably wouldn't amount to much by the world standards. But this boy named Adam loved computers. And he was good with computers. And he went on to develop a software that would be used to link cash registers between many stores. And Adam went on to become very wealthy and have a very fulfilling career. Someone the world would say is seemingly insignificant became someone who was very significant by the world standards. In the kingdom of God, we see the same principle time and time again. God uses people and circumstances that seem hopeless, and he uses them to bring about amazing results. And today I want us to be encouraged from the book of Matthew. I want to look at a few verses that talks about this principle of small things being powerful. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 31. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. Church, the point is, when God is involved, something small can be transformed into something great. Who here likes mustard? Who here does not like mustard? Austin hates mustard. Braylon doesn't like it either. I saw a hand over here. Joe doesn't like it. Linda doesn't like it. In fact, Austin, the sight of mustard kind of makes him sick. He despises it. But I like mustard, especially in my sandwiches. A mustard seed was an expression at the time to signify or symbolize something small or something insignificant. Who has their mustard seeds? Hold them up. Who's lost their mustard seeds? Yeah, I figured there'd be a few hands go up. Now, mustard seeds are very small. You might even call them insignificant. And if you've lost it, it is insignificant, right? Didn't even know. A mustard seed, when you look at it, doesn't really exude expectation, does it? It's just kind of there. It's almost something you could pass over. But it's a kingdom principle. In God's kingdom, people, situations, circumstances, They are not shackled by how they appear in the natural, right? God is not shackled by how something appears naturally. We see God use Gideon and 300 men. We see God use Moses, a man who stuttered, to lead an entire nation out of captivity. We see Jesus using 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread to feed almost 20,000 people. These things are small. They're insignificant. They seem destined for insignificance. But what was the common factor they all had? God. God is the common factor. We are living as members of God's kingdom here on this earth. And if God is involved in your life today, you are not insignificant. You know, the world might tell you you are. You might even have people that you love make you feel like you are sometimes. If God is in your life, if you are a Christian, you are never insignificant. You are significant in the eyes of the Creator. Don't lose sight of that. We are significant. But back to the seed. Before seed can grow, it has to be planted, doesn't it? These seeds in your hands this morning aren't going to do much. They're going to get lost. Matthew 13, 31 tells us, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. So think about this field. This field was this man's area of influence. He decided what would be planted there. He didn't just go out to his field and expect something to start growing, but he actually took a plant or took a seed and he planted it the correct way. Now, my garden, which is quite lame, is my area of influence. I'm not a gardener. I'm not Doug Shrewsbury. But my garden is my area of influence. And if I want something pretty to grow, I have to plant it in my garden, right? If I want to have juicy strawberries, I have to plant them in my garden. I have to do what's necessary to make them grow and make them ripen. And then I can harvest them. Just like your gardens at home, each of us have our area of influence in our own lives, don't we? You have people you're around every day. You have family, friends, church family, co-workers, maybe even people that you maybe wouldn't like sometimes. Some people are hard to deal with, right? I mean, it happens. But there's still people in our area of influence. And every single day that we're around them, we have an opportunity to sow seeds into their lives. How do we do that? Well, we need to make sure we're following the example that the farmer left us here of planting it the correct way. We do this by ensuring our actions and our words and our attitudes are biblically based. Is that always easy to do? I struggle with that a lot. But when we do that, when we're good examples and sowing seeds in others' lives, we will see godly fruit develop. And what happens when we do this? Well, Matthew 13, 32 tells us, though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. So what causes this seed to grow? Water, right? No seed grows without water. Sunlight causes it to grow. The soil makes it grow. But ultimately, God is the one who causes this mustard seed to grow. You see, the farmer can't make it grow. No matter how mighty we believe we are, no matter how good we think we are at what we do, we will never be able to make the sun shine. We'll never be able to make it rain. We never can make dirt. But God causes the smallest, most insignificant seed to grow into something that is large, and we're told becomes the biggest and greatest tree. There is no limit to what God can do. That little seed you hold in your hand becomes a tree like that. Just think what he can do in your life. Reminds me of the principle we read in 1 Corinthians 3:6, where Paul tells us, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God has been making it grow. Charles Spurgeon, famous preacher, once said this, do what you do thoroughly. Pray over it heartily and leave the result to God. When we do what God wants us to do as Christians, no matter how small we believe it is, God will bring great things from it. Charles Spurgeon, famous preacher, He was converted to Christ in the year 1850 at a small prayer service of just 10 people. Think about that. That's the power of small things. But we each have our role to play. As Christians, we sometimes get anxious over things that are not our responsibility. We think that maybe if we talk to somebody about Jesus or we preach and teach them and they don't respond in the time we think that they should, then we get down and we think, well, where did I fail? Where did I go wrong? Maybe we pray for somebody who's sick and they don't get better and we think, well, maybe I don't want to do that again. But that's not how it works. In the kingdom of God, we have our role, but God has His. God calls us to preach and teach. God calls us to pray for people. It is His job to bring the results. And we don't always have the clear picture, do we? Rarely do we have any picture at all of what the future is going to look like. But God does. He's already there. God tells us to pray for people. He tells us to teach people. We're to have faith. But how much faith does the Bible tell us to have? Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew 17:20, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, that little seed y'all have, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. That doesn't mean we're all powerful, but it means God is. And when we have faith in Him, even faith as small as that mustard seed, God will do great things in our lives for His kingdom. This mustard seed is so small. It was probably the smallest seed known at the time the scriptures were written. But we know from Jesus that this tiny seed produces tremendous growth. And it becomes a plant. And then it doesn't just stop at a plant, but He says it goes on to become a tree. And mustard trees can grow up to 12 feet tall. Something 12 feet tall from that little tiny seed that we all have. Perhaps Jesus is telling us something that we might miss here if we're not careful. Maybe He's telling us that if you have faith in Me as small as this seed, if you continue to grow, if you continue to learn about Me, then you will grow and your faith will grow into a tall tree rooted in the ground. Have you ever thought about this verse that way? I mean, why else would Jesus use a mustard seed for comparison? He could have used any seed He wanted to use, but He chose this tiny, insignificant seed because it has something a lot of seeds don't have. It has the power for extreme growth. And we have the ability to grow faith extremely in our lives. How do we do that? Well, we do that by learning about Jesus all we can. That involves reading the scripture. That involves study. That involves praying and meditating on His word. It involves sometimes just spending quiet time alone with God. It involves being around our brothers and sisters and learning from each other's experiences and sharing in our struggles and our victories. If we follow Him, we follow His word, then we will begin to see our faith grow from a tiny mustard seed into a plant, into a tree that's firmly rooted in Him. So the mustard seed is the example of the growth our faith can have when we follow Jesus. We increase our faith by following His example. And as we grow and apply that faith, we'll continue to grow. And our faith will become deep and rooted. Because that's the thing about a tree. A tree has to have roots to stand, right? If a tree just was flat on the ground, it would fall over like these trees do every time I try to move them up here, right? You should have seen me this morning putting that board up. It was bad. But there's no roots here. They're just flatly seated on the stage. But a tree has to have roots to stand. And that's what our faith can do when it grows. Keep watering your faith. Do the things Jesus has told us to do. Even when the world tells you it's insignificant, don't miss the power in the small things. We were able to go this morning down to the Hurricane Fire Department and deliver some water with Christy's class, and that was awesome. And it's something small, took 10 minutes of our time, but now the firefighters are going to have water and snacks, and they're going to know a church in the name of Jesus supplied them with that. And they know this morning, because we told them, those people are praying for us. They're praying for our safety. They're praying for our job. and they appreciate what we do. That is where the rubber meets the road. Water your mustard seed and become an established tree in God's kingdom. And the seed also grows into something that brings life. Matthew 13:32 again. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so the birds will come and perch in its branches. Why would birds flock to this tree? Well, the tree provides shade for them, and the tree provides protection for them. And we can even stretch this a bit to say the tree provides life for them. Because shade is important to life, isn't it? You have to have shade. You can't be outside for 12 hours in the sun without shade. You wouldn't survive, especially if it's 100 degrees. We were at the beach last week, and boy, when those clouds go over the sun, even if it's for a moment, you go, right? Because it gives you some relief from the heat. Shade's important. And if a bird is looking for a place to perch, to get away from the sun, to be safe, then it has to have a tree that's of a certain size to be able to do that. The mustard tree brings shade to the birds. It brings shade to people that's around it. Also, the branches, once it grows, can be cut down and used as lumber to build shelter, right? That's what we use trees for. So it becomes something useful. That little tiny seed that many of you have already lost, that little tiny seed that seems insignificant becomes something that brings usefulness, shelter, and life. That's our job too, church. That's how God works. 1 Corinthians 1:26 reminds us, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But we should never lose sight that as people of God, we serve a God who's great, a God who's all-powerful. And here's a question I want us all to consider this morning. Who is perched in the branches of your faith right now? You see, we have the faith that starts as a mustard seed, and it grows as we grow as Christians, until hopefully we become a tree. And other people can perch in our branches. And let me give you an example of that. Have you ever been at work, and someone who doesn't know God at all, has no thought of God, comes up to you and says, hey, would you pray for me? I'm suffering. Or would you pray for my family member who's sick? That person is perched in the branches of your faith. Use that opportunity. Make a difference in their lives. People sometimes are perched in your branches, and they may not even know it, because you might be the only example of Jesus they ever see. Use that to make a difference. Use that to make an impact in their lives. Something that starts as small as a mustard seed grows into a tree that brings usefulness, shelter, and when we lead him to Jesus, eternal life. I want to encourage us this morning to continue to be part of God's plan to bring life to those around us. There's a world outside those doors that's dead in sin. There's a world of people out there suffering, and they don't know Jesus is the answer, but we're here to tell them that it is. And we should be out there sowing these seeds in our spheres of influence, in our gardens. It's our job to plant the seed. It's our job to water the seed. But it's God's job to bring about the growth and the transformation that he desires. Continue to do that. Do what you do thoroughly. Pray over it heartily. And leave the result to God. You know, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, God wants to save you. God wants you for eternity. He wants you to come to his son. He wants you to be baptized and have your sins washed away. Will you come up out of that water a brand new person? We are so encouraged to have Nathan and Philip the past couple of weeks here. It's awesome when we see somebody make that transformation. And what a relief it is to know you have a home in heaven forever. There's nothing this world can do to take that away. The world does a good job of telling all of us and telling everyone, you don't matter. You're insignificant. You're not important. But God sent his son to die for you. That's significance, church. If you're ever doubting your value, look at the scriptures. It's spend time with God, because he said, you are immeasurably valuable. You cost me my son, but I gave him up for you. Church, that's love. And that is a God who does great things from the small. Yeah, we might not all be billionaires like Bill Gates. We may not have opportunities to help like other people do, but we all have ways we can help and we can make a difference. The question is, are we using our small things to impact God's kingdom? If you're here this morning and you have a need, we want to invite you to come at this time. If you're here and you want to become a Christian, we'd love to help you with that. If you're here and you're struggling and you want the prayers of the church, we're here to pray for you. We're here to encourage you. That's why we're here. If you have something on your heart that you want to bring up, share it with your family. If there's anyone here who has a need, we want you to come now as we stand and sing.